Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and joining me as always from New York City is my co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton.
And hey, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing really good, David, but I understand that you got a couple of...
today. Can you see it?
You did what?
I'm actually in the Matrix today.
Yeah, you are. You are. Well, I don't want to waste too much time here because we got a really special edition today, and I'm going to let you tell people exactly who we got.
Well, I think our guests all know Carl Gallups. He has been on here before, and quite the character, I might add, so mm-hmm. he really adds a lot to our show. Well, he has a good friend right out of Israel, so he's right at the heart of whatever is going on over there, and he's the founder of Messiah of Israel Ministries. It's actually Zev Porat, and probably many of you know. So, Carl, thanks for bringing him on. Zev, welcome to the show.
Amen.
Thanks for having me. It's really an honor and a blessing to be here. Shalom.
Shalom.
So I wanted to ask, there is a lot of stuff going on in Israel, and we talk about it all the time. But to have someone who's there has a unique perspective, who is also a, you know, Jewish by birth and the Messiah follower, you have a very unique perspective on our Bible prophecy and all the news and just everything we're really all about, because we know that it is all about Israel and the end of this age. That's where the focus is. So tell us a little bit about your ministry and anything that's going on, and then we'll get into, you know, really hammering it out.
Our ministry is Messiah of Israel Ministries .org or .com, and it's a ministry that preaches the gospel. We have discipleship training programs, what you would call house groups, all over Israel, like the Book of Acts, and we establish mm-hmm. them everywhere. And the reason we do that is because if someone gets saved in Haifa, it's very hard to plug him in Tel Aviv or plug him in Beersheba or somewhere. And so we have these house groups in every place. Another reason is because a lot of people are very, very, scared. You know, the Bible does say, if you're ashamed of my Father in heaven, my Father will be ashamed of you. But we can't judge anybody. When somebody becomes a believer here in Yeshua and Jesus, he endures a lot of persecution, besides the fact that he can lose his job and lose his home and lose his rights here in Israel. It's not something you're going to hear on the news, but it does happen here in Israel. And so we put him in an environment where it's good for him. For example, if he came from a secular background, we'd put him in a secular house group. If he came from an Orthodox background, we'd put him in an Orthodox house group. Eventually, the idea is to put them all together. But in the beginning, when they're, especially during the sanctification process, and it kind of hits them like a missile. You know, I use that language.
Yeah, you got to warm them up.
When it becomes believer, you know, when you become believer in Yeshua. So that's the reason we do that. It's quite different than the United States or somewhere else in the world. It's kind of even like in Asia when they have underground congregations. I wouldn't say that we're underground here, mm-hmm. but I would say that in a way we are, because we don't have signs all over our buildings. There's a congregation here. Welcome everybody and come in, because if you do that, you're going to bring in the enemy. And it's very difficult situations. So that's what we do here in Israel. We preach the gospel. We share the gospel, humanitarian aid. We share with Holocaust survivors. We even share with our Arab brothers and sisters. We go into mosques. We go into synagogues. We preach everywhere.
Amen.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'm always of the opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this, I'm thinking, you know, that there's so many in the church, as we call it, that will say, oh, the church replaced Israel, or, Israel, oh, those Zionists and all this stuff. That's really upsetting to me, because although he says, you know, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they will repent at some point. So it's our duty to pray for our elder brother that as a nation they would repent and turn to Messiah. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, David, when you started off the program and saying everything's about Israel, I just wanted to go right in and say, yeah, but we need to know who Israel is. Who is the real Israel? Who is the true Israel? And the true Israel, the real Israel, is is all those under the blood of Jesus, under the blood of Yeshua. Now, I'm born again. I'm born here in Israel, so I'm physically Israeli, physically a Jew. You're grafted into spiritually Israel, what's called Romans 11:15-17, and thus we become one in Messiah Yeshua, Ephesians 2:15. So when we read in the Bible in Romans 11:25 and Romans 11:26, all Israel shall be saved, there's a lot of misunderstandings out there, and a lot that Romans 11:26 seems to speak about every single Jew is going to become a believer in Yeshua. That's what we want. That's what God's heart is, but that's not necessarily true according to the Bible. When it speaks in Romans 11:26, Kodi Saleti Vasha, which is all Israel shall be saved, it's speaking about Jews and those from the nation, one in Messiah Yeshua. That's why in Romans 11:23, it says grafted back into the olive tree. It doesn't say all of them will be grafted in. It talks about the Jews that separated themselves from Jesus, from Yeshua, and now they're back into their original state. The nations get grafted in to that, and that's when we become one in Messiah Yeshua. So when we say Israel, we need to understand, when we read the Bible and we see something about Israel, it's referring to all those under the blood of Jesus, all those under the blood of Yeshua. And so I would even go a step further by saying there's a dangerous teaching out there that, you know, that some people say you don't even have to preach the gospel to the Jews, because all you have to do is love them and give them humanitarian aid, and, you know, they're the chosen people and everything, but you don't need to preach the gospel to them because God said he's going to save them either way. That's a dangerous teaching, and that's the Chaldean spirit. I get into my book, The Chaldean Spirit, operating behind the scenes to deceive the very elect, if possible. Who are the very elect? The very elect are believers. And so the enemy is constantly trying to deceive the very elect. He's doing the same thing with Jews that don't believe in Yeshua. He's trying to deceive them that Yeshua is for the Gentiles. He's not for the Jews. And so we see this demonic spirit operating in two ways. So when we speak about Israel, it's before we even get into Bible prophecy, we need to understand who is the true Israel. Because if we don't understand who the true Israel is, we're not going to be able to prepare ourselves for his second coming. And we're not going to understand who Israel is. And so when people say that the church has replaced Israel, that's like saying that they've replaced Yeshua, because Yeshua is Israel.
Now, Zev, real quick, I want to give you an opportunity here to talk a little bit about your book. And I know that you're not here to sell books. You know, that's not the the premise. But yeah, I want to encourage people to go out there and get your book. So can you tell them a little bit about it and the title and exactly where they can get a copy?
Well, there's Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit. You can get that on Amazon or get it on messiahofisraelministries.org or callgalbs.com or wherever books are sold, even in Target and other places in the United States. And then there's my newest book, which is Blood Alliance. Both of these books tie into what's happening right now in the prophetic realm. Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit speaks about the demonic spirits operating behind the scenes. If you go to the book of Revelation, it speaks about Babylon. Chaldean spirit is another name for Babylon, but I believe that the Chaldean spirit is the head of all the demons. All the demonic, the demons that are operating under the Satan, under Satan, are operating under this Chaldean spirit. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to do what Psalms 83 says, to destroy the name of Israel once and for all from under heaven. That's what it's all about. That's what the agenda of all this war about. This physical war is all in the spiritual realm. It's all the Chaldean spirit. And I encourage people to get the book. It's all documented there. Because I can go on and talk about this for hours.
But that's what the book's for.
Right, exactly. And we do encourage everybody. And by the way, that's also in the description for those of you that are listening to us on the radio or on one of the podcasts. You'll find all this in the description section. And, of course, we encourage everybody to go find us in video form. You can go to – the easiest way to do it is go to lastchristian.net, and you can find a copy there. And watch it, because we feel like there's a lot of stuff here. I think it comes across a lot better in video form, and a lot of times we have titles and that type of thing out there, book covers that you guys can watch as well. Zev, now I do want to get into prophecy, but before we do, I think it's important here for people to kind of get an idea of what it's like to live in Israel right now, because here in the United States, we are encountering a generation that is being indoctrinated with anti-Semitism, especially at the college level, and you see a lot of these people running around yelling from the river to the sea. They don't know what river, they don't know what sea, and they have no idea what it really
or where
means.
It is.
We've got people that are doing the Hitler salute. I mean, it is. Incredibly embarrassing for me as a United States citizen to say that my country has fallen that far and has gone that far left, but it has. And I know what we spoke a minute before we started the show today, and I was asking you a little bit about sirens and that type of thing. And I just want you to, this is your opportunity to tell the people here in the United States, what's it like to live in Israel right now under these war conditions that you guys are suffering?
Well, I could tell you that I came from a family of rabbis, a family of Holocaust survivors, so I know the horrific stories that happened in the Holocaust. What happened on October 7th, and in my opinion, is just as worse as the Holocaust, maybe even worse than the Holocaust. So since October 7th, it's been a war zone here. It's always been a war zone. Israel's always been attacked. There's always been missiles here. There's always been stabbings here. There's always been buses being blown up. But nothing like what we're seeing right now. What you're seeing in the news, and I always say that, is not even 5% or 10% of what's really happening here in Israel. And the reason is, it's not because, you know, like the fake news is trying to take it out. It's because the people here, the ones who don't believe in Yeshua, are in panic. They're panicking. Mm-hmm. And so when you constantly tell people what's happening on the news, you're creating more chaos and more panic. So what they do here on the news is they try to report, you know, only when there's casualties or only when there's an emergency. Mm-hmm. But I could tell you that I was driving through the city of Haifa yesterday, and there were sirens, and they weren't even reported on the news. They were reported on some app or something. And the reason is because there wasn't any damage done. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying not to let the people panic. What is it like living in Israel right now? It's like living in ground zero. It's like living in Psalms 83. Everybody wants to destroy you. Everybody wants to wipe you out. Mm-hmm. We know that Iran's behind the scenes. You can drive and suddenly see a drone going by and seeing a helicopter chase it for 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's normal here. You can see a bus being run over by an Arab. It's normal here right now. Mm-hmm. Rockets being fired, sirens everywhere. If you're driving on the road, suddenly we stop when there's a siren. Everybody gets out of their car and we have to get on the road and do something like this. On the road for 10 minutes. Everybody's like that. And it causes traffic for the next 5 hours all through Israel. And you're late for appointments. And people don't make it to work. And people don't make it to school. It's a disaster.
That's pretty awful. I've said on the show many times, I don't know if I could do it or not. I really don't. I mean, because you guys had 90 seconds? Did I read that right? You got like 90 seconds from the time that a siren is sounded to find a place of shelter?
Usually it's a minute and a half, a minute and a half to find a place of shelter,
All right. I wanted to get that out. I wanted to get that out there for everybody because, you know, this is from the river to the sea thing, and again, they don't even know what they're talking about, but, you know, that's just evil, and I wanted to let people get a glimpse of what it's like there. David, I'll let you take it from here.
Okay, I wanted to get, Carl, how did you come in contact with Zev and become such a good friend? Tell us about him.
Well, that's a long story, but the quick story is I had written a book called The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, the story of Yitzhak Kaduri. Zev is related to that whole thing in a deep way, and even some of his students, the most famous rabbi in Israel's history. And I wrote that some years ago, but anyway, Zev was in the book because I had seen him on the internet doing some ministry in that whole thing. You had this most famous rabbi, Orthodox rabbi, that and there's a long story to it, but he proclaimed that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the real Messiah. It was an earthquake in Israel. Well, the media shut it down like the fake news in America does, but I wrote, at that time, the only book by a major publisher on that whole thing. I investigated it deeply. I found Zeb on the internet in some videos ministering to and getting the testimony of some of Kaduri's students after Kaduri had died. And so I put all that in my book. Well, anyway, long story, somebody that neither Zeb nor I knew wound up taking a bunch of my books to Israel. They knew he was in it. They tracked him down, showed it to him. He said, I didn't know this book was written. This is amazing. And he reads it. And anyway, the Lord opened up door after door after door of ministry. He called me, says, who are you? Why did you do this? How did you know? And so we had this long talk. Our heart met. And the rest is history, as they say. We've been ministering together for over a dozen years. We've written a book together. It's a sequel to that book because so much more has happened. Mm-hmm. It's called The Rabbi, The Secret Message and the Identity of Messiah. It's Zeb and I co-authored that book. It went crazy and still is all over the world. Yeah. And then, yeah, he's written two books with the same publisher that I'm affiliated with, Defender Publishing, one of the largest Christian publishers on the planet right now, and the Chaldean Spirit, Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit, and Blood Alliance. So we do conferences together, we do media together. Before the war, he was always coming over to the United States, and we would stay a week and go from coast to coast, do TV and radio and conferences and Bible prophecy conferences and stuff. So that's, we're very, very dear friends. We've become like family. Now, his ministry is totally separate and independent of mine. I don't tell him what to do. He doesn't tell me what to do. We just have a great cooperative. Yeah, the Lord does. We have a great cooperative spirit. And besides that, we just absolutely love each other and our families. Mm-hmm. So that's who we are.
That's awesome.
Now, I know, Zeb, we had met back in 2018 at the Hear the Watchman in Long Island, because I'm from New York City, and we're back there. So I was very impressed from that time, and now since we've morphed into a bigger ministry and a radio show and all that, so we're very excited to have you here.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember when we met, and I was excited to see that I'm coming on the program today and being able to minister with you again today. Mentioning what Carl said, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of the Messiah. That book, until today, the testimony of Rabbi Kaduri, who left a note that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah, is still being used as an evangelistic tool. And so when we read the book of Daniel, where it says, as we get closer to the second coming, and I'm paraphrasing, knowledge will increase. That knowledge is increasing as we get closer and closer to the second coming of Jesus Yeshua, and that book has caused an earthquake here in Israel. This is why Satan's losing it. He knows his time is short. Revelation 12:12. He knows his time is short. He's pulling out his ammunition. All these attacks, Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran, all this, Satan and his demons pulling out their last ammunition. You mentioned about people not knowing what they're doing, talking against Israel. I think it's very important that the believers around the world understand that, once again, I'm going to say it again, who the true Israel is. Because if you know who the true Israel is, that's where you can minister to those people and say you're wrong. If you don't know who the true Israel is, then you can't be a light and minister to them. And so it's crucial that believers understand this.
Yeah. Hey, JD and David, let me just interject here, too, about the power of the gospel, the word of God, but that book that explains Kaduri's vision and his revelation that just is an earthquake in Israel to this day. It's going to sound like I'm name dropping, but I have to do this so that you can understand the power of it. Of course, Zev lives there and he's deeply connected in a lot of ways. God opened a door of connection for me years ago that, and I don't want to get into the long story now, but Pat Boone and I became very, very good friends, and I've been on television with him several times. In fact, just a few weeks ago, I was on TV with him again. And he wrote the foreword for one of my books. But anyway, he took a trip to Israel after the book that Zev and I wrote. And he's good friends with Benjamin Netanyahu. I did not know that. Wow. And so they were talking about it together, and Pat was unraveling the message of it. Benjamin Netanyahu asked for an autographed copy of it. Wow. So Pat calls me, so I get an autographed copy. Benjamin Netanyahu has an autographed copy of our book on his desk.
Wow.
Then Tom Horn, before he passed away, was on a television show with me and Zev, and he announced that just that day or a couple days before that Benjamin Netanyahu's office had ordered a case of 40 of those books and had them shipped to Israel.
Nice. Wow.
So this is a huge story. It's a big ministry. Zev and I are just little people serving a big God. That's Zev's line. I stole it from him. That's perfect. We're just little people serving a big God. We didn't know each other until Kaduri, you know, the Lord brought us together, but the Kaduri story brought us together. We've been in ministry ever since, and the Lord has opened doors for us that we could have never opened. And I'm sure he's closed demonic doors that have come against us that we could have never seen. Mm-hmm. So it's been a supernatural journey for both of us, Zev more than I, because of where he's living and what's going on. But it's been a completely supernatural journey. So thanks for having us on to talk about some of that.
It's a blessing to
have. So I want to get an insight too. And Zev, you could do that. I know you were just about to say something, but I want to give people a teaser of what Kaduri said and when, and then tell people, hey, they can get the book, you know, from there too. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, who was Rabbi Kaduri? Rabbi Kaduri was one of the most venerated rabbis in modern day Israel, even in all of history of Israel. We have rabbis in Israel that is Sephardi rabbi, Ashkenazi rabbis, different sectors. But he was a rabbi for all sectors. All sectors looked up to him. And so God took this rabbi, 108 years old, to leave a message. He opened 1 year after his death. And the reason it's 1 year, it's all documented in the book. It's a whole issue there about that. It's, people are probably asking, why wait 1 year? Read the book. You'll see the whole thing. He left a note to be open a year after his burial, revealing the name of the Messiah in a decoded format. And when they opened it and they saw the name Yehoshua or Yeshua, they immediately tried to cover it up. It was too late. Screenshots were taken. It was all over the internet. Israel Today did articles about it. And we're using it as an evangelistic tool.
Let me say this. Pat Boone, when he read, I'm sorry, I thought you were finished, Zev. I'm so sorry. It got a little delay.
Can you imagine the most venerated rabbi in Israel saying that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah? Do you understand what the implications of that is for his reputation?
That's incredible.
He shocked everybody over here. And he also did a message in Yom Kippur. Rabbis don't give messages in Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That's also in the book. And so, I mean, if we start talking about this, we'll need three programs only about this book.
Yeah. And you said he was 108 years old. Did I hear that right?
108 years old. His prophecy is connected with Ariel Sharon also over there, because he said that the Messiah will come after Ariel Sharon. Ariel Sharon went into a coma for 8 years. And we know, and so everything that he said, Yitzhak Kaduri, came to pass. My family is well connected with Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri. As a boy, Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri used to visit my grandfather. Little did I know that I would believe in Yeshua, and he would believe in Yeshua. It's unbelievable. Yeah, we serve small people with a big
God. Let me tell you how powerful this story is. Still alive. He's still leading Orthodox Jews. Listen, he's leading Muslim imams to the Lord through this. I'm talking about one of the largest mosques in Israel. Gave his life to Yeshua because of this whole revelation. But the thing is, back to Pat Boone, just recently, a few months ago, he actually wrote and signed a contract and has a song out called Yehoshua. And he tells everybody, he said it on TV several times, that it came from that book that Zev and I wrote, that revelation. And so that story keeps going and it keeps going. And when people ask Pat Boone why he wrote that song, what that's about, he tells them the story, and he tells them about our ministry together and how it's impacting the world and particularly Israel. So this is a last days prophetic mm-hmm. revelation thing that's happening right in our midst, and American media won't talk about it. Amen. Israeli Amen. Media won't mm-hmm. talk about it. Right. But we don't need the media. We've got the Lord. We've got visions. We've got dreams.
He tells it better.
We've got the book. We've got Zev preaching. We've got me preaching. We've mm-hmm. got your show and so many other shows. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, it's fascinating to me too how the Lord actually leads stuff together, because we actually now attend Times Square Church in New York City, and Pat Boone was the actor in The Cross and the Switchblade, playing David Wilkerson. So he's very yes. tied in with that church too. Mm-hmm. So it's just amazing how the Lord ties everything back together.
Yes.
And then, you know, when we all go home, we'll be talking about this. So 1,000 years from now, guys, we got a date. We're going to get coffee and talk about it. Hey, remember 1,000 years ago?
Yeah, okay. Well, actually, we're talking about it now. So,
well, I'll tell you this now. We're almost out of time here in the first half of the show, and we haven't even touched prophecy yet. And I want to. I want.
Good thing we got the second half.
I promise you, the second half of the show is going to be full of it. Okay, because mm-hmm. It's important, and we do have Zev on, and we're blessed to have him today. And I want to make sure to give. I know that you've got insight over there in Israel that we haven't even thought about yet. So you know, I really do want to get into that. Also, Carl, I'm going to give you an opportunity real quick to talk about your books, please, and also your website and your ministry.
Thank you.
And, got a minute and a half. Add
about Zev's book. You can get both of his books that he alone has published, Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit and the Blood Alliance, as well as the one that we wrote together. You can get all that at carlgallops.com, especially if you live in the United States, because Zev has a hard time shipping to people in the United States from Israel, but we do it from our offices for him. He gets every penny of it. But the bottom line is, we can get them to you, and you talk to real people. And same with all of my books. Now, both of us are published by a major publisher, so Defender literally markets and makes all of our books available all over the world, literally, in mom-and-pop stores and brick-and-mortar stores, all of the internet website stores, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, on and on and on it goes. Target, Walmart, everywhere you can think of. Mm-hmm. So, but if somebody's listening to your show now that wants to order one of Zev's books, the easiest way, I think, if you're in the United States, is go to my website, carlgallops.com. You'll see all of our books, but you'll see his. You just push the button, order it, it's done, and it'll be to you in just a couple of days.
Amen. Amen. And I do encourage everybody to do that. And now we are going to take a very short break. Everybody hang in there with us, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes with the second half of Last Christian. Again, blessed today to have both Carl Gallops and Zev Perot. Of course, you know David. And I don't even count, but I'm here. Okay. So anyway, hope that you will hang in there with us for the second half of the show. We've got a lot coming to you, and it's going to be full of prophecy. We'll be back right after a very short break.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love, Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
God is at work in your life. The problem is that we are too distracted by temporary things to see the big picture of what God is doing both in our life and in the world around us. God has called each of us to follow Him. What does that look like, and how do I do it well? We answer that question in our daily choices. My name is Norman Smith, and Run With Horses is a show dedicated to helping you thrive as a follower of Jesus. It is my goal to follow Jesus and pursue His work in my life with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're like me, you know that the journey isn't easy, and we do it better together. Join me on Revelation Radio for an hour of conversation and encouragement to keep on when times are tough. You can find Run With Horses on Revelation Radio at our new time each Saturday night from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. beginning November 4th. Keep running.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. And again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, Mr. David Paxton there in New York City. Carl Gallups, I don't know where you're at, Carl. And
yeah, I'm in Northwest Florida. We call it L.A. because that stands for Lower Alabama.
Oh, okay. All right. Lower Alabama, also known as Florida. And then a special guest, Mr. Zev Perot there in Israel, the Holy Land itself. And I'm not going to take up any more time here, but I do want to address something that I just overlooked in the first half of the show. And two things, really. Number one, Zev, can you pray us in, please, and just say a prayer for this show and hoping that it reaches someone out there and leads them to Christ?
Absolutely, absolutely. Avinu Malkeinu Adon Olam, Heavenly Father, Lord Yeshua, we lift up your name as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray, Father, that everything that we speak today, everything that we do today, will be to glorify your name. And anything that's not from your words will be cut off in the name of Yeshua. We pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will pierce hearts and that people will come to know you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We come against the attack of the enemy in the name of Yeshua and proclaim Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who could be against us? Father, if there's anybody here listening today who's been told that Israel is not the true Israel, or has been told that we don't need all the Old Testament, or it has nothing to do with Bible prophecy, Abba Father, may he today come to turn to you and hear the truth. And the truth can only do one thing, and that is set you free. If there's somebody today listening now or in the future that has not accepted Yeshua as their personal Savior, today is the day of your salvation. You're here today not by coincidence. The word coincidence is not in the Bible. It's an ordained divine appointment. We pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
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 The other thing that I failed to mention is the fact that Zev is a rabbi. So now,
and he's pretty fly for a rabbi.
Yeah, and now I don't see long whiskers. I don't see the what'd you call that thing?
The beanie.
Yarmulke. I don't see yarmulke. That. And I didn't think.
And he doesn't eat white bread with mayonnaise.
I didn't think you could call yourself a rabbi after you accepted Christ. You got some splaining to do. Talk to me, Zev. You got all the answers. You got them all. Go ahead.
First of all, rabbi just means teacher. That's all it means. Teacher of the Word of God. That's
what rabbi means.
Anything else was added by religion. I grew up as an Orthodox Jew. In a family of rabbis and a family of Dayans, which are judges of rabbis, before I was a believer in Yeshua. So yes, I had the head covering and I had all the tzitzit and everything and everything. But when I accepted Yeshua as my personal Savior, I got rid of all that because God is not searching for religion; He's searching for a relationship.
Amen.
In fact, Paul, in the book of Romans and the book of Galatians, gets into that. With believers that were trying to hold on to their traditions and hold on to their religion. And he said, you don't need that right now. you're born again. And so why would I go and do this? This has been a huge stumbling block for non-believers to come into Messiah Yeshua, because they think you want to take them to be religious in that aspect. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then it's been a stumbling block for Christians who don't want anything to do with Israel because they think you're trying to take them to that side. Mm-hmm. And so this is how the enemy works on both sides. In Matthew 23, the famous Bible passage where Jesus says, you are not to call any man rabbi. But does he only say you're not to call any man rabbi, you're not to call any man teacher, you're not to call any man, he gets into a list of things, and then not to call anybody your father. But then we go into the New Covenant, New Testament, we see Paul says, through the gospel, I became your father. So is Paul contradicting the scripture? Absolutely not. There's a context to everything. Right. And so the context in Matthew 23, and I encourage you to go to my website, Messiah of Israel Ministry, scroll down, and there's a whole article there. It says, why do I call myself rabbi? And they get into all the Bible verses and a full explanation, but I'll just touch on it very briefly over here on this program. And so Yeshua says, do not call any man rabbi. He was speaking to the religious leaders who go into the marketplaces, who want to be greeted rabbi. And so the context of do not call yourself rabbi is, do not exalt yourself over the kingdom like the Pharisees do. Right. That's what he was speaking about. As long as you put Yeshua first, then it's okay. It doesn't mean you can't call yourself rabbi, because if you can't call yourself rabbi, you can't call yourself a pastor. Right. You can't call yourself a father. Mm-hmm. You can't basically have a congregation, according to Matthew 23. But there's a context to everything. Yeah. And the context is, do not exalt yourself over the kingdom. That's what it's about.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
Once again, the full article is on my website.
Yeah.
I'm here in New York City. And like every other block, there's a church that said it's apostle this and apostle that. So I get what you're saying. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. We've got just a teeny bit delay. It's my bad. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
But the bottom line is, Zev already mentioned it, and I just wanted to add a little bit to it. He said the word rabbi means teacher, and that's correct. So when we come to the New Testament, it talks about how the Holy Spirit gives some to be apostles, some to be teachers. Mm-hmm. And so it was in the Greek and then translated to English, and it comes out teachers. But if it's written in Hebrew, it's going to be say, and some to be rabbis. And immediately, see, Amen. We think that's a totally Jewish thing in a Jewish synagogue. By the way, the word synagogue is a Greek word. It's not even a Hebrew word. And it just means meeting. So many people don't understand the nuances of these words. So it's all about context. And like Zeb was saying, Jesus was telling his disciples, do not be like them. Do not go around putting a badge on your chest, demanding that people bow down before you because you're somebody special. He says, in the kingdom, yes, you can be a teacher and a teacher of the word and handle it accurately, and God will bless you, and you can call yourself teacher. That's not the issue. The issue is to lord it over people. Bow to your rabbi. Yeah. Bow to your pastor. Bow to your denomination. Bow. That's what Jesus is saying. He said the kingdom of God is not made up of that junk.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's exactly why
I'm going to have to stop asking people to bow.
Go ahead, Zev.
I don't go around wearing a beard and wearing a tallit and wearing everything, because it's not about me. It's about Yeshua. Mm-hmm. It's about Jesus. Yes. The focus is on the gospel. The focus is on the word of God. The focus is not about us. It's all about him. And so Jesus is just saying, don't do that. Another thing is, people ask, okay, why call yourself rabbi at all? Just call yourself by name. Well, because here in the culture in Israel, if I go around preaching the gospel using the Old Testament, that's what I do here, the Tanakh. Now, you can't put God in a box. Am I saying I never use the New Testament? No, I use the New Testament. Sometimes I'm asked when people, whether it's to persecute me or whether it's really to find out information, we use a New Testament also. But most of all, mostly we use an Old Testament to preach Messiah Yeshua. Because if you go to the New Testament, in the ministry of Yeshua, in the ministry of Paul, in the ministry of John, was there a New Testament? No, they were quoting everything from the Old Testament because everything in the Old Testament is a shadow of the New. That's why Jesus said over and over again, as the Scripture says, as the Scripture says, what Scripture? Mm-hmm. Let the reader understand. Let him go to the book of Daniel. He's speaking about the Old Testament. And so everything comes from the Old Testament. And so if I go around and start teaching these things in Israel, they're going to ask me, by what authority do you teach? Of course, by the authority of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But who are you? Mm-hmm. If you say, you have to tell them I'm a teacher, I'm a rabbi, then they'll listen to you. If I tell them I'm a pastor, mm-hmm. oh, you're a goy, you're a Gentile, we want nothing to do with mm-hmm. you. You close mm-hmm. the door for the gospel. Mm-hmm. This is what Paul spoke about. To the Jew, I was a Jew, and to the Greek, I was a Greek. You're sensitive to the culture. You preach the gospel without compromising the Word of God. That's the key here. You cannot compromise the Word of God, but you have to be sensitive to the culture. And that's the reason I have to call myself rabbi, and I can't call myself a pastor or an evangelist or something, because that's going to close the door for the gospel here in Israel.
Yeah. Well, now, there are churches here. As a matter of fact, I was a part of a church that belonged to this organization, which was the Southern Baptist Convention or something like that. Anyway, they were talking about doing away with teaching the Old Testament. They didn't think it was valid anymore. And our church immediately withdrew from the SBC, okay, because we were not going to, you know, and I've said this on the show many times, you know, if you're in a church and they say something like that, hit the door and never go back. You know, because mm-hmm. without the Old Testament, there wouldn't be a New. And by the way, spoiler alert, Jesus never talked from the New Testament, never mentioned it because he mm-hmm. was living it. Okay? So, you know, I just wanted to make that point real quick. Now, Zev, I have said on this show, and David's been kind, he hasn't corrected me. Okay? So I'm giving you the opportunity to do
this. I could do it now if you
okay?
want.
And that is that I think right now what's going on in Israel is the Psalm 83 war. Because all of the it doesn't take countries. The Psalm 83 doesn't say countries. It says groups, and, you know, and I forget the exact wording. But anyway, it sounds to me like the Psalm 83 war is playing out right now, which, of course, will eventually lead to Ezekiel 38. But I'm going to let you correct me on why I'm wrong about Psalm 83, number one, and then let's start talking a little bit about prophecy and what is lying ahead.
Well, first of all, I think that Psalms 83 is a compound prophecy. It has to do with the beginning, you know, the beginning where we at now, and where we're going to be in the future. And so, because why do I say that? Because Psalm 83, verses 3 and 4 says, they lay crafty plans against your people. They consult together against your treasured ones, and they say, come, let us wipe out the nation, so the name of Israel be remembered no more. That's been going on for thousands of years. That's not something new. It's escalating to a higher and higher level as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus Yeshua. Now, I don't set dates. I don't know when Yeshua is going to return.
Right.
But I do know that we're getting closer and closer to that second coming, and we're that's the Bible prophecy that we're seeing. So, yes, we're living in Psalms 83, but Psalms 83, as I said again, has been going on for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. The main groups in Psalms 83, and there's a whole list over there, are the Philistines, mm-hmm. which speaks of the Gaza Strip area, Tyre, which speaks about Lebanon, and Assyria, which speaks about Syria coming from the east. And so those are the main groups in the book of Psalms 83. Of course, there's a whole list, but those are the three main groups that I see.
Right.
And so are we living in Psalms 83? Absolutely. Is it connected with Ezekiel 38? I think Ezekiel 38 is also a compound prophecy. Mm. I think that we're in the precursor of Ezekiel 38 right now. How fast can it happen? The day with the Lord is a 1,000 years. It can happen in a split moment. When we look at Bible prophecy and we say, oh, there's a lot of things that need to happen. Yes, a lot of things need to happen, but these things can happen in a split second.
Right.
Because remember, God lives outside of time. He created time for us. Mm-hmm. So we can comprehend, so we can understand. We can't understand what 1,000 years is for the Lord.
Right.
So even when we read in the book of Revelation, and then Satan will be put in the 1,000 years. How long is 1,000 years? We don't really know, and we're not supposed to know, because the mysteries belong to God. Those mysteries will be revealed to us when Yeshua returns. So yes, we're living in Psalms 83 right now, but we're not just. And I see the parallel between Psalms 83. Pastor Carl, do you see the same thing? Psalms 83 and Ezekiel 38. Although the list in Ezekiel 38 and the list in Psalms 83 are different. It's a little bit different. But the agenda is the same, the spirit's the same, the demonic realm is the same. They play hand-to-hand together. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that that Ezekiel 38, at least in my mind, okay, there's no doubt that that's countries, that specifically Iran being the big one, in my opinion, mm-hmm. even though Rush is supposed to be the leader, the Gog Magog. But Iran is the puppet master in all of this stuff. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Carl, did you have anything?
Yeah, I think they're corroborating that.
Yeah. No, I think you guys have addressed it very similarly to how I would address it. But but the bottom line is we're now living in the most prophetic days since the first coming of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And the Hallelujah. Sad part is, according to the polls of Barna and Pew polls and all of these, from pastors, conservative pastors themselves taking anonymous surveys, the vast majority of the church in America, and that probably would extrapolate to the Western branches of the church because they're influenced by the church in America, the vast majority of pastors and pulpits and churches don't study it, don't talk about it, don't preach it. They don't talk about prophecy. They admit this. They don't mm-hmm. talk about Israel, its right to exist. They don't talk about that being prophecy. Mm-hmm. Everything that's happening now, well, that's just always going on. I mean, that sounds like what Peter said about everybody's going to say in the last mm-hmm. days. Right. Everything goes on right. like it has mm-hmm. in the beginning. But that's not true. There's a biblical line of prophecy. We're in the midst of it, and we had better open our eyes, and the church had better wake up.
Amen. Amen. David?
Amen to that. Yeah, it's powerful that you said that, because even Yeshua, when he was quoting the word, he like stopped in the middle of a verse, and you know, there's 2,000 years in between it. So yeah, I would agree that we're in the middle of it, and it's a progressive, ongoing prophecy. The Psalm 83 and Ezekiel et al. So mm-hmm. that was powerful. Thank you.
Yeah, very much.
Thank you. You mentioned JD about Iran. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And Iran, absolutely. I mean, if you one of the reasons that a lot of places are saying you don't need the Old Testament is because if you read the Old Testament, you're going to understand what's happening right now, and the enemy exactly. doesn't want you to know what's happening.
Right.
That's exactly the point. So I get thousands of emails, thousands of comments that I have. My ministry team has to delete almost every day, saying "Free Palestine, Free Palestine." They don't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
And so, and one of the reasons is a lot of it's, you know, coming from people that are not believers, but a lot of it's coming from believers.
Yes.
And my answer That's crazy, to right? them is what Yeshua is going to say, depart from me. Right. I never knew you. The right. most scariest words coming right. out of Yeshua's mouth, depart from me, I never knew you. Mm. And so going back to Iran, if you go to the book of Daniel, we know that Daniel was praying, and his prayers were delayed for how long? For 21 days, the Bible
21?
Says. That mm-hmm. 21 days. 21 days is, you know, there's a prophetic meeting right there because it's 7 times 3, which is God's mm-hmm. perfection number, but that's a whole different sermon over there. 21 days I was delayed. Michael said he was delayed by who? By the chief princes by the king Persia. Of Persia. Who's the king of Persia? The king of Persia is speaking about Iran, and right. that king of Persia mm-hmm. is a demonic spirit. That right. demonic spirit is operating right now as we're speaking, right. firing, threatening against Israel, Psalms 83, to destroy the nation of Israel, to destroy the gospel, and people are saying that you don't need the Old Testament. That's the enemy working behind the scenes. You know.
It's crazy.
I'm speechless. I don't have what to say about something like that.
Yeah. Well.
I got something.
Go ahead, David.
So as a prophecy teacher, I always teach that prophecy is esoteric, mm-hmm. and it's designed in a way where we cannot figure out exactly what it means until the moment after it happens. Then we'll be like, duh, now I get it. That's why right. the disciples didn't know that Jesus was actually going to be crucified. So given that prophecy is esoteric, I want to get Zev's outlook on prophecy today. Where are we about, you know, obviously, you know, we're not planning days, although next Thursday would be great. But where do you see us, and what are we leading into right now, Zev?
Well, we're definitely leading into the final war. How long that's going to mm-hmm. take, as I said again, I don't know, but we're building up to that right now. I don't think that Israel, even if this war ends temporary, because there's not going to be permanent peace only through Messiah, is true. Even if it ends temporary, Israel is not going to be the same as it was. The people are not going to be the same as it was. The military is not going to be the same as it was. And the preaching of the gospel is not going to be the same as it was. I think if the preaching of the gospel is going to escalate to a higher level over here, as people are hungry and hungrier to the truth. I think we're living in an Amos 8:11, where the time will come where people will search for, they'll be hungry for truth. And it's not a hunger of food, it's a hunger for the word of God. I think we're in Amos 8:3 right now. And I think that every time that the enemy has a plan to destroy, God has a bigger plan, because he's bigger, greater is he in us than the one in the world. So where are we right now in Bible prophecy? We're in the last boom. Where was the first boom? The first boom was, can a nation be born in a day, in the book of Isaiah, when Israel became a nation?
Amen.
That was the first boom. First one triggered prophecy. The next boom is going to be when Yeshua returns. How close that is? Very close. The only reason that you and I are here today making these programs, preaching the gospel, sharing the truth, is for one reason: to bring people into the kingdom. It's a time of grace. Amen. It's a time of grace. But grace will come to an end. And we're called to be ambassadors. We're called to be priests. That's our position. That's what we're supposed to be doing right now. So I do think that we're getting closer and closer. We're seeing we're seeing what's happening with Russia, with China, the alignments. I mean, we're close. We're close. And being close is not a sign. Dave said it's a sign for us to go out there and share the truth, because the time is near.
Okay, Carl, I see you chomping at the bit there. I'm gonna get you.
I was wrapping it down. I wanted to tag team with my brother. We do a lot of literal tag team preaching. We've done it in pulpits before, and so I was tagging in.
Nice.
But everything he said is absolutely biblical true. Of course,
right?
I'm not trying to to parse his words or anything. It's just he's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. But, and to take it a level just a tad bit deeper is, consider this. From Deuteronomy to Zechariah, there are 50 prophecies about the return of Israel in the last days. Mm-hmm. Some of those are just a sentence or two. Some of them are entire chapters. The entire chapter, Isaiah 49, Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel 39. I mean, they're entire chapters and verses, 50 of them. And all of them either have the implication, the direct implication, or the direct words from God, and I'm just going to paraphrase now, that says, and when you see Israel return, you are in the last days.
Amen.
And this is here to be a sign to the nations and to the Jews and to Israel itself that I alone am God, and this word alone is my word. So we're the first historical generation. Israel's only 76 years old as we're speaking. Mm-hmm. Listen, my church this year is celebrating its 100th year, its 100th anniversary. I've been the pastor there for 38 of those 100 years. Mm. But when the church I'm pastoring started, it would still be 24 more years before Israel would even return. Nobody even dreamed.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Nobody dreamed it. I mean, that's all in my lifetime, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not 100 years old, but I'm saying in our historical lifetime.
Well,
yeah, not yet.
Israel's only 10 years older than me.
Let me finish where I'm going here. So when you can take that alone, it is mind-boggling. Then when you take what Jesus said in Matthew 24 about, you want to know the signs of the end? Here it is. Here's one. This gospel of the kingdom will be being preached into all the nations, and then the end will come. Jesus said that. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what we're doing right now? Right now, using technology, we are preaching the gospel into all the nations instantaneously. It'll be archived. People will watch it until Jesus returns. That's what Jesus said would happen. And he said, when you see that happening, you're at the end. Daniel was told in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, many will run to and fro over the face of the earth, and knowledge will increase. But those Hebrew words break down into uncountable multitudes will circumnavigate the globe. An exponential explosion of technology will take place. I've written to this. I've parsed Hebrew words. Those words are used that way everywhere else in the Old Testament, but they're not translated that way in the English in Daniel, only because of people couldn't figure out what he meant. But right. Now we're the generation that sees it. We're the first generation to see an explosion of technology like never before. The first generation to see the gospel going to the entire world 24/7. The first generation to see Israel back. And the first generation to see Iran and Russia leading the attack on a return to Israel.
Right.
All of those are prophecies of the last days. We're the only generation in history to see them converge at once.
Hallelujah.
We are there, guys. We are there.
Before we run out of time, I got one more question that I want to ask Zev. And that is, the Saudi Arabia king a couple of weeks ago announced that he was in favor of a 7-year agreement between Israel and Iran. And as soon as I heard 7 years, immediately I popped up like a rabbit. And I want to I want to get your impressions of that. And am I going down a rabbit hole here, or am I onto something?
Well, first of all, let me just have a little bit of chutzpah and back up, because I got it on my tongue, to back up to the book of Daniel where it says knowledge will increase, what Pastor Carl was speaking about. The word for knowledge will increase is the word yeda yamshich la'alot. The word yeda means knowledge, but the word yeda also means to know. And so it's like the same word used, and Adam knew his wife, Adam yadayit Chava. So what God is saying is, when knowledge will increase, so will the relationship of the remnant, the true bride of Messiah Yeshua, will increase. And in order for that gospel to go forth, in order for the gospel to reach, and then the end will come. And so I see that in the mystery of the book of Daniel, for the word knowledge, yadai in Hebrew.
Amen.
It's mind-blowing. Actually, it's something the Lord just showed me a few days ago. And so knowledge is increasing.
Right.
Something I read over and over again I didn't see. Now, back to the
peace treaty.
Saudi Arabian king. I heard about that, or prince. I heard about that. My take is, and Pastor Carl knows this, the way I do, the way I teach, or the way I minister, is by asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to ask a question, and then I can answer it too. And the question is, when Yeshua returns, who is in control, Yeshua or us? That's the first question I ask.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is
immediately beforehand, it's us. Yeah. And then immediately after, it's him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The answer is Yeshua is in control. And so when Yeshua says in the Word of God, when Yeshua says in the Word of God, no one knows, not even the angels, only my Father in heaven. Some translations say neither nor the Son. That's in italics. That's not in the original. It does not say the Son. It says neither the angels or my Father in heaven. And then it says in many places that I and the Father are one. Mm-hmm. So if we believe that Yeshua is God, and he is God, then he knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I know all the teachings out there and the explanations. Where am I going with all this? I'm going with all this that if there is a 7-year peace treaty, or there must be 7 years in order for to have peace before the Messiah returns, that means that you and I can stand here today and say, at least for the next 7 years, Jesus is not going to return. And that's date setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's impossible. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I don't set dates. I don't see in the Bible. I know what the Bible verses say, but that's not what they mean in the context in Hebrew. I don't see anywhere in the Bible, in context, where 7 years is going to determine if Messiah returns.
Oh, me either.
That's what I have to say about it.
Yeah, me either. I just wanted to get to. We're out of time, unfortunately. We're down to seconds here. So what I want to do is first of all, Carl, Zev, I want to thank you guys for taking the time today to come on and be with us, and we really appreciate it. And I want to invite both of you back. And Zev, I know you're extremely busy. Carl, you've been on at least once before, and I invite you back again, of course. And David, if you can go ahead and take us out of the show.
All right. We thank you, Father, for this time and the technology. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our brothers in Christ, that we can bring your kingdom to the entire world through this medium. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter if you're an independent. The only thing that really matters is getting news that is correct. And you can only do that from the perspective of what God believes. If you want the real news and look at it from the lens of current events, tune in to The Last Christian every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net.